Everyone, the Lord commends you for two things. Okay, number one, for being here. Being here in worship, being here in person, because Jesus, your King, is worthy of your worship. Amen? So the Lord commends you. Amen? Second thing, the Lord commends you for not being feeling disrupted and distracted. We're having the audio difficulties and challenges. I had to fight myself. I had to fight through, okay, focus. Do not be distracted. You can worship the Lord. So the Lord commands you for being focused and remaining in this posture of worship. Let me start with a story. A group of missionaries was sent to India. Now, they prayed for this missionary trip for years and years. They prayed hard, they prepared, they planned, and they went with the word and deed, word, to proclaim that in Christ, God loves them. But also, not only in word, but also in deed, they wanted to go and meet the needs of the people in India. So they went to a very remote village. This remote village had 20,000 people. Okay? So they said, hey, we came prepared. We've been planning for this. We've been preparing, praying, and we can build you a school. We can build you a medical clinic. We can build you a library. What would you like? And you know what they said? You know what they said? To their surprise, they said, school will be great. Medical clinic will be great. A library will be awesome, but what we really need is a mailbox. And you were going, huh? What they said was this. We need a postal code. We don't have a postal code. This is a remote village. And in India, they were told, if you don't have a postal code, you don't exist on a map. If you don't have a postal code, you don't get the programs and the services from the government. If you don't have a postal code, you don't have an identity. So would you please, before you build us a school, before you build us a medical clinic, before you build us a library, would you please give us a what? A mailbox. So they did. This group of missionaries spent the next 2 years applying for the permit, talking to the agents, talking to the people who are in power, and it took them 2 years to cut across all the bureaucracies, and finally, they got the people a mailbox. They have a map. They exist on a map. They have an identity, and because of that, because of the mailbox, they began receiving all the services from the government. You know, I share this story. This is from the book called Bless, which you've been reading all along with everyone at Mosaic House Church. I share this because the missionaries came to this conclusion. We are so glad that we listened to the people of the village. We didn't assume, we came with assumptions, but we are so thankful to God that we listened. Because when we listened to their needs, we were able to love them more deeply. Hence, we are in this series called Bless. We are here to be blessed by God the Father. And once we are blessed by God the Father, we get to bless our neighbors. And this is all possible because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us recite together Matthew 22. This is known as the Great Commandment. Verse 36. Someone asked the Lord Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law, in the whole Bible, in the whole scripture? What is the most important? What is one commandment that calls all the commandments?" Would you read verse 37 with me? Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, We're missing some words there. With all your mind and with all your... This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Let's say it together. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So friends, here. This is all about grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the divine, fully divine, fully human, Jesus Christ himself. He made it possible for you and me. This is grace gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. Even if we wanted to try it, we could not have obtained it. It was given to you and me as a gift, grace. Through Christ, God the Father accepts you and me. Through Christ, God the Father loves you. Through Jesus. And therefore, once we are loved by God the Father, once you experience the grace of Jesus Christ, you are transformed. And this is how you know that you have received grace. If you claim to have received grace, but if you're not transformed, you should wonder, you should ask yourself, have I really received grace? Because grace always transforms. And one transformation is this. You are able to now, through Christ, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So in this series called Blessed, B-L-E-S-S, it's an acronym. It's an acronym. We have pictures to help you remind what the acronym is all about. So let's get to it. Last week, we covered the first letter B. B stands for what? Begin with prayer. And today, we're going to focus on the letter L. L stands for listen. Listen. Listen to your neighbors. And the following week, the letter E stands for? And the letter S stands for? The second S stands for? Share the story of Jesus Christ. This is how you love your neighbor, by blessing them. We begin with prayer. Now, generally, we get to love. Who is our neighbor? Anyone the Holy Spirit places on your path. But more specifically, we're talking about people who don't know Jesus, people who don't love God, people who are far, far, far away from the work of the Holy Spirit. So we pray for them. So remember, in your house church, in your spheres of influence, when you begin with prayer, it's not just for anyone, it's that person whom the Holy Spirit placed on your path who is far, far, far away from Christ. Okay? So today we are going to focus on listen. You will see, those of you joining via live stream, you will see a slide with the QR code. Use that to download the sermon outline, because when you have a sermon outline, you follow along, you fill in the blanks, it will help you retain the learning from today's message. Towards the end of the message, the sermon, you will also get to submit your questions to the Q&A. Here is the number to which you may send in your questions. But for now, let's get to the reading of the text. It's one of the most, how do I say this? For me, this story that happens between the Lord Jesus and the woman at the well, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. In the whole entire Bible, this story is unique in that the conversations, the dialogue, the things that Jesus asks the woman, and the kind of response that the woman says back to Jesus, it is so, so personal. It's so intimate. It is so loving, at the same time, so firm. This is a very, very unique way of telling the story, because the Holy Spirit is such a good storyteller, and this all happened. This is not fictional. This is a true, true account that happened between the Lord Jesus and the woman at the well. May I encourage you, therefore, to use the picture it method. See yourselves in the picture. Okay? More specifically, I am asking you, challenging you, to see yourself, identify yourself with the woman. Okay? What she's going through, her obstacles, her concerns, her fears. See yourself inner shoe. Got it? Agreed? So let's go. This is from John chapter 4. Everyone hear the word of the Lord. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. What a way to start the story. I'll come back to that. Very, very significant. Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. What time was it? It was about noon. Another significance. Verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, can you picture this? A woman with a jar. What time? About noon. Sun's at the zenith. It's hot. Hot. 45 Celsius. And you all Canadians go, oh, we are melting. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Will you give me a drink? Here's the response. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Why not? Because for Jews, do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. You don't have a bucket, and the well is 40 feet deep. Where can you get this living water? What are you talking about? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water gushing, welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Never mind the living water. Give me the running water. So that I don't have to come every day with my jar. And here's Jesus' response. She asks what? Give me this living water. And his response was what? Doesn't make sense, right? Go! Call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man now you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Here's her response, changing of subject. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am He. And the story concludes in verse 28 and on. Picture this. I just love this description. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. But when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Oh, Holy Spirit, what an account. What a story. Help each and every one of us, including me, to identify ourselves with the woman. So would you open our eyes that we may see Jesus? Would you open our ears that we may hear Jesus? Would you open our hearts that we may conceive Jesus, the Holy Spirit? In the name of Christ, amen. By the grace of Christ, I want to accomplish 2 things. That you receive grace from Christ, as the woman has. And as a result, 2, that we love our neighbors. The theme and the goal is this. Write these words. Jesus Christ offers you the living water so that you will never thirst. Let's say that together. Jesus Christ offers you the living water so that you will never thirst. Grace, 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 grace. It starts with grace, it ends with the grace of Christ, and everything in between is filled with His grace. How did the Holy Spirit start the story? Come on, remind me. Jesus had to go to Samaria. And everyone 2,000 years ago said, no way, that's not true. Because here's what happened. North is Galilee. South is Jerusalem. Jesus is going from one to the other. Right in the middle is Samaria. And every Jew would go all the way around, avoiding Samaria. It's like, how long does it take to go to Calgary from here? Huh? 3 hours. About 3 hours. As the crow flies. You know, straight line, right? About 3 hours. It's like, but we don't go there that way. We go all the way around. We go to Lloydminster, and we go all the way around to Calgary. It's going to take us 10 hours. And that's because Jews and the Samaritans did not associate themselves. They were enemies. Jews would avoid going through Samaria at any cost. Samaritans were looked down upon by the Jewish people for at least three reasons. Number one, racial tension. Number two, religious. And number three, I don't remember anymore. They were half-breeds. They intermingled with the pagans. And therefore, the Jews looked down upon Samaritans. So they were mixed blood religiously, and therefore they were tainted. Furthermore, what makes it even worse is the fact that they combined Judaism with the pagan religions. So they were mucked racially and religiously. And for that reason, Jews looked down upon them. But here's the punchline. I remembered the third reason. Where's the temple? The place where everyone was supposed to worship the living God. Only one place you get to worship God. It's in Jerusalem. And guess what the Samaritans did? They built another temple on the Mount of Gerizim. And therefore, that was such an affront, an insult to the Jewish people. And that's why Jews never associated with the Samaritans. And what did they say? Jesus had to go through Samaria. Why? Because he had an appointment to keep. He knew the woman was going to be there. And he said to the disciples, boys, we're going to go through Samaria. He had to go there. He wanted to see her. He wanted to talk to her. But most of all, he wanted to listen to the woman. It starts with grace. So when Jesus asked her, would you give me a drink of water? She was startled. She was not only surprised, she was shocked that a Jewish man is asking me. Okay, number one, Jews and Samaritans don't associate it. Okay, so Jesus cuts across that cultural barrier. Number two, the gender barrier. Men and women, strangers, they don't talk in public. They don't. Jesus makes the first move, and he reaches out to the woman, cutting through the gender barrier. And lastly, he is a holy man, and she was an immoral person. And he cuts through the moral barrier. It's all grace. Friends, look. Do you see yourself in the shoe of the woman? Jesus had to come to you. He had to come to Edmonton. He had to come to wherever you were when Christ found you. He made a divine appointment. I must come and see you. And not only that, I must hear your longings, your thirst. That's grace, friends. You and I, we are the woman. Christ cut across all the red tapes, all the barriers. And that's how much he loves you and me. She says, you're going to offer me this living water? Give me that. So I don't have to come every day to draw water. And what was Jesus' response? Give me this water, she said, and Jesus responds, go bring your hubby. Her response was, I don't have a husband. That's right, you have had five. And the woman that you, the one that you're living with is not your husband either. Okay, so, friends, so five marriages, five divorces. And she hooked up, and she is shacking it up with another man, right? Okay. Now, question to you. If you had a friend today in 2024 in Canada, married five times, divorced five times, and hooked up and shacked up, would it be kind of a not so kosher? Yeah. Right? You know, I mean, okay, you know, tough life and, you know, five men, you know, six, number six. Here, look. Imagine how controversial this must have been 2,000 years ago. Imagine how ridiculous this must have been in a conservative culture, religious culture. Five husbands, five divorces, and she is living with a man. Can you imagine the gossip? Oh, what time did she come to the well? About noon, huh? Does that make sense to you? Drawing water, getting water in that culture 2,000 years ago, women did that, girls did that at two different times. In the morning, at sunrise, and at dusk, sunset. Why? Because it's 45 degrees during the day. No one went to the well at noon. Furthermore, this was a social event. Girls don't go alone, they go together. Hey, girlfriend, it's 6 o'clock a.m., let's go. And they walk together with their water jars, and they, you know, talk. You know how girls, you know. Or, hey, sunset occurred. It's the dusk, the cool of the day. Girlfriend, let's go. And as they go, it's a social event. But she went by herself. Why? She was a social outcast. No one wanted to go with her. And do you blame them? Five divorces, and she is living in sin right now. Conservative, religious culture, no one was calling her up. She was an outcast. Okay. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the living water. Go bring your husband. You know what he's getting at? See, Jesus is listening. Listen. You know what this is? Have you ever had a doctor say to you, okay, I'm going to put this on like this. Put this on your chest, on your back, and your doctor will say, take a deep breath in and hold it. Now breathe out. Okay? Have you had that experience? Anyone? Raise your hand because I can hear you. Okay, this is a visual aid. With every question Jesus asks, he's listening. This device helps the doctor to hear your heart, your lungs, and your bowels. Your organs have a very specific frequency when you are healthy. And the doctor can tell you, oh, something's wrong with your heart, because I'm listening. Something's wrong with your lungs, because I'm listening. Something's wrong with your bowels, or God forbid, but I'm listening. With every question, Jesus is listening to the health of her soul. And he listens. And he's listening to you. How is your soul? And you know what he hears? You know what he finds out? You know what is wrong with her, and you know what is wrong with us? We are thirsty. You are thirsty. She's thirsty. I am thirsty. How? Well, here, look. Why would any woman marry five husbands? Why? I'll tell you why. She had this thirst, the thirst of the soul. And she thought she could quench her thirst in relationships, in men, in love, in romance. So she marries one. And guess what happened to her thirst? It was quenched for a while. But then the thirst came back. She figured, I better change the man. Husband number two. The thirst was gone for a while, but then it came back. It always does. She said, time for a new man. Number three, number four, number five, and now number six. See, she had her soul thirst. And she thought, if I could have just the right kind of man, then the thirst would be quenched. It never does. It never does. And you know it too, don't you? You have your soul thirst, and it will never be quenched. And just like the woman, you may not use romance, you may not use love, you may not use relationship to quench your thirst, you may use something else. How about career? Career. If I could get that promotion, my thirst will be gone. Or, some of you, if I could have a child, if I could have a good child, if I have good sons and daughters, then that thirst will go away. It might, for a while, but it's not going to last. You know why? Because that thirst, your soul thirst, can be quenched by only one person. This soul thirst has God-shaped thirst. And only Jesus can fulfill it. Only He can give you the living water. And that's what He's saying. That's what He's saying. Question. How many days can you survive without water? Do you know? Wait. Let me help you. How many days can you survive without your phone? How many days? Can you survive without your smartphone for a day? Yes? 2 days? 3 days? Oh, now it's like, oh, not so sure. Question, how many days can you survive without food? How many days? 7 days? Get this. You could survive without food up to 3 weeks. Okay? Well, depends on how much reserve you have at the moment, I must say. Okay? How many days can you survive without water? 3 to 5 days. Some of you will last three days, and after that, you're gone. Others of you, maybe 5 days, but that's it. That's it. 60% of your body consists of water. Did you know that? And Jesus is using our physiological necessity to make a point, to let you know, let you realize and believe that just like without water, you will die of dehydration. And your soul will die without me, because I'm the living water. You need me, Victor. Your soul desperately needs me. Without me, you will die. Oh, you may live, you may exist in this life, but you will shrivel up because you don't have joy, you don't have purpose, you don't have security, and you are dying of this soul thirst. Jesus says, I am the living water. How? I give you purpose. You are here for God's glory. You aren't here for your own glory. And the more you focus on your glory, the thirstier you get. Jesus says, I'm the living water. How? I provide security. And all of us, we need that security, don't we? We got to know, hey, do we have food for tomorrow? Are we going to have a house next month? We need that security. And Jesus is listening to your soul. And He says to me, Victor, only I can provide the ultimate security. I am your living water. What about destiny? Destiny, you are here not for yourselves. You are here for the glory of God. I was created for God's glory. I was redeemed for God's glory. I am being sustained today for God's glory. And therefore, no matter what happens, my focus, my destiny is to bring God glory. Friends, when you have that living water, and when you are satisfied by Jesus Christ, you realize this. I can give God glory in good times and bad times. I can give God glory in sickness and in health. I can give God glory in poverty and in riches. I can give God glory at all times. That's because Jesus is your living water. So, Jesus offers you the living water so that you will never thirst. So first, receive that grace, everyone. Each and every one of you. Christ comes to you today. He comes to you today. You may have heard this message before, but today is your day of salvation. If you have not knelt before Jesus Christ, if you have not before cried out, "Oh Lord God, Jesus, I need you. Thank you, you are my living water, and only you can quench my soul thirst. I come to you, I receive you, your grace and your gift." This is your day. Say that in your heart. Have your soul thirst quenched. That's grace. And those of you who have received that grace, now guess what you get to do? You get to love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbors are dying of thirst too. So today we're going to focus on how to listen. So may I share with you three applications? May I share with you three applications? Only two of you. May the Lord bless the two of you. Okay. Application number one. Write these words. Listen to your neighbor because listening is an act of love. How many of you know the difference between hearing and listening? All right, give it to me. What's the difference? Listening requires a response. Somebody else? Miss Jessica, what's the difference?
Well, listening implies you want to know something about what you're hearing.
Listening requires more than hearing. You may hear, but you may not listen. Have you been there? I've been there lots of times. Yeah? Listening, therefore, is an act of love because when you listen, you are paying attention. You put down, you stop what you're doing, say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I was hearing, but not listening. Now you have my attention." It's an act of love because there is a cost involved. It takes intentionality. It takes care. We can all hear, but we don't all listen because we lack the love expressed in care. We are reading the book together, Bless. If you need a book, if you don't have a book, Melissa, raise your hand. Go grab her afterwards. She will get you a book. This is from the book, David Osberger. Listen, being heard is as close to being loved. That for the average person, that's you and me, they're almost indistinguishable. You can't tell apart. If you love me, you will listen to me. If I love you, I will listen to you. So listening is an act of love. Because as you listen, you are showing love. And through the listening of your soul, you will hear something different. The author of the book is David Ferguson, and here's what he says. Listening to your neighbors moves you forward in your relationships as God uses you to bless others and change their lives. Most people don't want you to fix their problems. Let me repeat that. Most people don't want you to fix their problems. What do they want? They want your support. They just want to be heard. They want to be known. And they want to know that you care. That make sense? Application number two. So therefore, since listening is an act of love, learn how to ask the right questions so that you may listen. So when you love someone, you listen to them, and when you listen well, because you get to ask right questions. Like Jesus says, go and bring your husband, right? He was getting to her the root, the cause of her sore thirst. And you too can know their sore thirst by asking the right questions. Let me help you with that. In the book, Dave Ferguson says there are four H's of listening, okay? Four H's of listening. Number one, history. Tell me a story. Where are you from? What are you doing here? How'd you end up here? You have siblings? History. Tell me about yourself. Second H, heart. What are you passionate about? What makes you happy? What turns your motor, so to speak? You know, what inspires you? What motivates you? So, question. What motivates me? Come on. Can you tell what motivates me? What's in my heart? Motorcycle. Who said that? Never mind. He knows me too well. Third H. Habits or hobbies. What do you like to do? What do you like to do? That's my answer, motorcycle. Eh? That's not what's in my heart. That's my hobby. What do you like to do? When you ask the right questions, and as your neighbor tells you what's in their heart, or their hobbies, their habits, their history, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes as to their soul thirst. Fourth, here we go. Hurts. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with your getting laid off? How are you doing with your cancer? How are you doing with your mother-in-law? How are you doing with your children who are... Tell me about your hurts. See? If you ask the right questions, then you get to listen what's in their soul. Okay? So first, listening is an act of love, right? Second, ask the right questions. And last, pray that the Holy Spirit reveals the thirst of your Frank. I don't mean Frank Vandenbrink. I mean Frank as in F-R-A-N-C. So I learned that word last week in my house church as we were going through Begin with Prayer. And here's what Frank stands for. You ready? Frank. F stands for everyone. R stands for. A stands for. N stands for. And lastly, C stands for. Yeah. Ask. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Reveal to me as I am engaged in the act of listening, which is love, and as I ask the right questions to my Frank, would you reveal to me the thirst of my Frank? And as the Holy Spirit reveals that thirst to you, now you may know how to respond. Listen, when the people in your lives feel unheard, they feel unknown. It leaves them, therefore, feeling unloved. And that's why we listen. We listen. If you want to love your neighbors and bless them, you become intentional about listening and listening to understand. Because it's about love. You know, everyone has a story. I have a story, you have a story, but not everyone has people listening to their stories. You get to listen to their stories and show your love. I want to invite Daniel C. Daniel is one of our elders at Mosaic House Church and also someone that I really respect, admire. I got it. So stand right here. Everyone say hello, Daniel. Daniel and his lovely wife, Lillian, they live in a condo. and they are involved in something called apartment life, right? Okay. So,
great.
So briefly, tell us about that, would you?
Yeah, we learned about apartment life a little bit over a year ago, and it's a not-for-profit organization that works with rental buildings. They're really big in the States, and what they do to the buildings is they say to the building, hey, we want to do 2 community events for you every month. And the building says, sure. But secretly, the people who are running the events are Christians. They don't tell the building manager, but the people that they recruit in the buildings are specifically Christian couples to go and not just do the events, but get to know the neighbors and love the neighbors.
I was going to ask you, what's the mission? What's the angle of the covert operation? And you just said it.
I spoiled it.
Yeah, say more. How does that compute to loving your neighbors?
Well, the events are just a way for us to get to meet people. Apartment life has a lot of stats. They say, like, in rental buildings, less than 10% of the people there are Christians. And not just, like, they're just saying, like, they don't even go to church or any religion at all. So they're really lonely, or they're needing community, and it's just a big field. So when we're there, we're not just there to run the events, but we're there just to, like, get to know people and just have an opportunity to, like, really listen and to get to know them and just show love to them.
You say those two words in one breath, listening to them and showing them love. Okay, do you have any examples or experiences where you really listened, listened, okay, to your neighbor in the complex, and how do they respond to that?
Yeah, I've got one. When we first moved into this building over 3 years ago, we have a dog, like a little golden retriever. And there's a communal dog run, and there's this guy, this 6-foot-tall guy named James. And 6-foot-tall, really gruff, answers in grunts. So, how are you doing? And so when I take our dog out for the evening kind of like final play and pee and whatever, I see James. And the first year was just like, how are you doing? And like, okay. So we just stood there and watched our dogs play and kind of do the thing. And then over the course of the years, it went from to okay. And then I would share a little bit. It's like, yeah, I had a rough day or a busy day. And then like a year ago, he started to open up. It was sort of like, he started to say things like, yeah, my day is really tough. Like your day, I heard your day, my day is very similar to this. And we went from to like, he started to talk about like, his stresses at work, his relationships, his health, and like it just went from nothing to like a big, deep conversation where one night we stayed up till 1 o'clock. Lillian was like, are you still okay? Like, what happened to you? But it was just, we went really deep into like just talking and talking about like what we are and like what's going on in our lives and stuff like that. And just meanwhile, like, just being there.
Thanks for sharing. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question. So you were talking to this guy till 1 in the morning. Your wife was so concerned. Hey, is everything okay? When you love your neighbors by listening to them, what are the costs?
It's not free. I mean, I'm not really extroverted, so it does take a lot of energy out of me to talk to people. And so there's that internal energy. There's also the fear of like saying the wrong thing. So not just the energy, but the anxiety of like, oh, what if he doesn't answer something? Or what if this other neighbor doesn't say something? Or they look weird at me and all this other stuff like that. So there's kind of like, we talked about at our house church, there's almost a reputational cost and risk of asking questions. Like what if they don't like this questioning or all this other stuff like that? Then there's the time cost, right? Like you go into this thing and like at first you're like, oh, this is gonna be a long conversation. I wake up really early in the morning. I you know, like, can I do this? But it's you go through it and you're like, oh, that was worth it. That was really worth it to give up that time. And then I think the third cost is just like a spiritual cost. You're just like, what is the cost of not doing it? It's like, because like you feel this prod somewhere and then you're like, well, maybe another day. And then that's, but then you come back and you're like, oh no, I should have, or I should do this. And like, yeah.
May I ask? Because, you know, I heard you say there's a cost when you love someone by listening. There's cost. You answer why you still do it. Do you gain anything for yourself? Is it just a sacrifice all the time?
Yeah, we gain something. I think like when you show love, love reflects back. So again, in the case of this neighbor, like he started to ask me questions that he really wanted to dig deeper into my life, and it gave me a chance to be listened to, right? Like I got to share truly like what's going on, and it's like a back and forth thing. So it's not just like I'm giving love. He in his own way is just like also following up and being like, hey, how was that situation at work, or you know, what's going on here and there? And like, so it's reciprocal. So it's not just give, you get.
At the risk of putting words in your mouth, may I just say what you and I, what he gains is we're becoming more like Christ by through the act of listening and loving your neighbor, we become like Jesus. Okay? Before you sit down, is there anything else you'd like to share?
I think like one of the hardest parts is like trying to figure out what to say, especially again with this guy named James, like, because you start off and being like, you know, hey, how's it going? And then like everyone always says the same thing, okay, busy. Like if it's not a grunt, you know, everyone else just is programmed to be like, that's it. And I think the hardest part is just sort of like persistence, you know, and not being like, you know, how are you really doing? Like, tell me, like, you know, and really kind of like listening to the Spirit. And then actually like also in one sense for me, the biggest thing is like the freedom of just being like, I don't have to actually come up with the clever questions. I just follow the prompting and then like whatever happens. And that's kind of how it goes.
Would you thank Daniel for sharing? Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Let's land the plane, shall we? At the end of our series, BLESS. So we begin with the prayer. L stands for? E stands for? S stands for? And the last S?
Share.
Okay, share Christ. We actually have an opportunity to invite your neighbors to an Alpha course. Alpha is a safe dinner evenings where they get to ask questions about the soul thirst. So I just want to give you a heads up, okay? As you have received grace, you get to love your neighbors. And today we listen to them. We listen to the Holy Spirit. And may your soul thirst be quenched by Christ. Pray with me. And friends, you may submit your questions to the number that you see on the screen. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Words do not convey how thankful, grateful we are. Nonetheless, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your Son. He quenched our soul thirst. And he did that at a huge cost, as he hanged on the cross, being crucified, he said these words, I thirst, I Oh, Lord Jesus, you thirsted because you assume all of our thirst, the thirst of the entire humanity. You thirst by which you quench our thirst. Thank you so much, Lord. It cost you dearly your life. And that's why you are worthy of our worship. Now, Holy Spirit, empower us, equip us to become like Christ, loving our neighbors. In the name of Christ, we pray. And God's people said, amen. Amen.